The following program is not a production of Audio Journal. External programs like this are selected with the interests of our audience in mind and with the goal to inform and entertain. The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, staff, or volunteer readers. Thank you for listening to Audio Journal.
This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Hello and welcome to the Funny Pages. My name's Greg Conroy. Let's have some fun. We started off with Pearls Before Swine. Pig is seated outside behind a crate. On the front of the crate is a sign that reads, "I will not let others' criticism affect me." Rat approaches and reads the sign. Rat, how is that possible? Pig takes out a pair of headphones and puts them on. Rat looks at Pig and retorts, "Noise-canceling headphones don't count." Pig, who still is wearing the headphones, shouts to his friend, "You have a good day, too." Mother Goose and Grimm. Mother Goose is sitting on a park bench next to Hiram, her boyfriend, who is also a goose. Hiram puckers up and leans into Mother Goose as he asks, "How about a little smooch, Miss Goose?" Mother Goose puts her hands up on his shoulders to stop him. She turns her head and replies, "No way, Hiram. I'm not playing baseball with you unless I see a diamond." She points at her ring finger. Deflocked. Cobb, the tall dog, is out by the fallen tree with Mammoth, the sheep. Mammoth, I'm finding that people are listening less and less to my criticism. It's like they just tune me out, leaving me to suffer with all their annoying traits. Cobb is looking off into the distance. Mammoth, so, I've decided to make an important change. Cobb turns to him and asks, "You're going to criticize less?" Mammoth grabs a megaphone and shouts at Cobb, who is sitting right next to him, "Guess again, coffee breath." Pickles. Earl and Opal are in bed, sound asleep. Suddenly, Earl begins shouting, "What was that?" Opal, from the other side of the bed, replies, "Sorry, that was my foot. I guess my heels are a little rough and scratchy." Earl, "Oh, I thought maybe there was an armadillo in bed with us." In the final frame, Earl is now sleeping on the couch in the living room. He thinks to himself, "Note to self, do not compare wife's foot to an armadillo." Rhymes with orange. The text box reads, "The walk." A husband and wife astronaut team are participating in a spacewalk. They are each in their spacesuits with long cords connecting them to the spaceship. The husband is looking up at the top of his head and using his gloved hand to feel at the side of his helmet. He is looking for his eyeglasses that are perched on top of his head, so inside the helmet. His wife looks over at him and points out, "Well, the good news is you didn't forget them." The wife looks down at the view of the Earth below them as she remarks, "The Earth looks stunning." The husband squints and replies, "It does?" He can't see without his glasses. Macanudo. Two short clowns, one in a red outfit and the other in blue, with long striped hats waving on top of their heads, are walking by the shore of a lake. Their reflections in the water are about 10 feet behind them. The red clown looks back at their reflections and comments, "The lake is running late again." Dilbert. Wally, one of the colleagues, enters the pointy-haired boss's office while holding a cup of coffee. Wally remarks, "I want our company to fund my new support group for employees with long COVID symptoms. We'll need pillows, blankets, daily shoulder massages, and shorter hours." The boss replies, "You asked for all those things before you got COVID." Wally, "Well, don't hate me for being consistent." Baby Blues. Zoe is seated at a laptop, showing her parents the movie that she made. Her parents and little brother each played parts. Zoe, "And so, together, the brave knight and the beautiful princess captured Gary, the gassy dragon, and they all lived happily ever after." Daryl and Wanda are smiling while standing behind Zoe's chair. Zoe continues, except for Gary, who continues to get a dose of his own medicine. Zoe and her parents look over at a cardboard box that contains Hammy, Zoe's little brother. The box is taped shut, trapping him inside. The box is shaking as Hammy yells out, "Gack, let me out." Too much gas? Garfield. Odie, the dog, is standing on the table next to Garfield, who smiles and points at the dog. Garfield. Dogs are a lot like people. Garfield continues to smile. Odie becomes concerned. He turns to Garfield and barks sternly. Bark, bark, bark. Garfield turns to him and replies, "No, I won't take that back." Mutts. The text box reads, "Talk to the sand." Mooch the cat and Earl the dog are relaxing on the beach by the ocean. Earl is asleep in the sand. Millie, their owner, a matronly white-haired woman, approaches while wearing beach attire. Mooch holds up a paw to stop her from interrupting. Hi, Aunt Lois. Chip, the teenager, is sitting on the couch watching TV. Hi is throwing a fit and shouting, "You had all day to mow the lawn." Chip looks up. "Well, I can't do it now. It's dark." In the final frame, Chip is indeed mowing the lawn in the dark. There is a flashlight tied to the top of his head, illuminating the grass in front of the mower. He thinks to himself, "Dad is a can-do type of guy." Beetle Bailey. Sarge is in the gym wearing judo clothes, a robe with a belt. He's talking to Lieutenant Fuzz. "Beetle was showing me some of his mixed martial arts moves." Lieutenant Fuzz, "How did that go?" In the final frame, Beetle is lying on the mat next to them. His arms and legs are bent at odd, awkward angles, and all of his clothes are wrinkled. He mumbles from the floor, where his face is against the mat. Mixed results. Family Circus. Mommy is in the boys' room making their beds. They have two twin beds with space between them. Billy is telling his mother, "Terry's lucky. His house is so small that he and his brother have bunk beds." Zitz. Jeremy is standing in the living room with his knees pressed together. He's bent over a little, and both of his legs are shaking. Connie, his mother, asks him, "Jeremy, are you okay?" Jeremy looks up rather tense and points out, "I need to use the bathroom." Mom gestures to her right. "It's right there. Just go." Jeremy crosses his knees. "I can't, Mom, because..." Jeremy shuffles over to his cell phone that is plugged into the charger on the wall. "My phone is dead." Speed bump. A fisherman is throwing out his line into the water. A fish is jumping out of the water to get the bait. Further downstream, two other fishermen are getting ready to cast their lines. One of the fishermen has a tennis ball as a bait on the end of his hook. He says to his buddy, "Yep, this spot's full of dogfish." Bizarro. A judge is sitting behind her bench, the front of which is actually a piano. The keys are pointing out into the courtroom. A woman lawyer is sitting at a table next to the defendant, who is wearing an orange prison uniform with "inmate" written on his back. The lawyer is looking through her papers. She glances at the judge and tells her client, "She's tough, but danceable." Cornered. A train of cars is approaching the top of a tall arch on a roller coaster at an amusement park. The track is sticking out above the clouds. It is so high up in the air. The man in the front car looks out and sees two angels floating nearby. He turns to his friend. "Okay, now I'm having second thoughts." I always do. I hate roller coasters. Non sequitur. Flo, the waitress and owner of Flo's Diner, is behind the counter, ready to serve coffee to her guests. Joe, her son, and Captain Eddie, a local fisherman, are sitting on stools enjoying some coffee. Flo pours some more coffee into Joe's cup. Flo, "What's new, dear?" Joe, "Oh, Danae has decided to rewrite the Bible to make the stories more believable." Flo, well, that sounds like a very creative outlet for her. As she refills Joe's cup, Flo adds, I don't see any harm in it. Eddie, sitting in his overalls with a cat on the back of his right shoulder, takes out his pipe and replies, Ah, yeah, and I help with some of the fact-checking. Joe stares at the captain. Flo replies, I stand corrected. Marmaduke. Phil, the big dog's owner, is sitting in the living room in his easy chair looking at his computer tablet. Marmaduke enters wearing a snorkel mask with a breathing tube attached. The end of the tube is in his mouth. He has just dropped a beach towel on the floor. Phil looks at his dog and remarks, You are the reason we never get invited to any neighborhood pool parties. Duplex. Eno Camino is at the kitchen table eating a snack while talking to someone on his cell phone. Hello? Tech support? He continues. Someone at the gym swiped my earpods. The voice on the phone replies, Yeah, so? Eno, can you track them for me somehow? The voice, maybe. Eno, interesting. Eno whispers into the phone, Would it be possible to send a death pulse through them? The voice on the phone, no comment. Drabble. June, also known as Honey Bunch, is talking to Wally, the wiener dog. She bends down and announces, We're leaving on a cruise tomorrow, Wally. Wally's ears stand up on end as he has a shocked look on his face as he's thinking, What? Honey Bunch, don't worry. Grandma's coming over to take care of you. Wally calms down and smiles with little heart emojis popping out of his head as he thinks, Grandma, she's nice. She feeds me a lot. Honey Bunch turns to leave the room as she remarks, We'll be back before you know it. Wally grins, thumping his tail on the floor as he thinks, Take your time. Ziggy. The little guy is sitting at a table in a fancy restaurant. The waiter, who is wearing a suit coat with a bow tie as well as an apron wrapped around his waist, arrives with a platter that has a dome lid over a plate of food. The lid is attached to the platter with a combination lock. The waiter puts one hand down on the table and announces to Ziggy, Did you order the combination plate? Lola. Our favorite senior citizen is sitting with Monty, her grandson Sammy's friend, on the back steps. Lola is reading a newspaper. She looks up and remarks, Monty, what do you want to be when you grow up? Monty looks at her and replies, About a foot taller than I am right now. Lola, who is short of stature herself, returns to reading the newspaper as she replies, I had similar goals. Monty looks pensive and adds, Never give up. The Argyle Sweater. A woman is standing in a store. The sign on the window of the store reads, Pocket Knives, Pocket Watches. As she's perusing the display of watches inside the shop, she realizes they are enormous. The merchandise is leaning up against shelving on the wall. The pocket watches are about 3 feet across, while the pocket knives are about 4 feet tall. The proprietor in the background is a kangaroo. He is sweeping the floor. The woman looks at the knives and pocket watches and exclaims, Such false advertising. These things are huge. How can you even call that a pocket watch? Well, of course, a kangaroo has a pocket, right? Or pouch. And you can put just about anything in there, I think. Other Coast. A yellow Labrador is sitting at the bar next to a black and white terrier. They are each having a cocktail. The yellow dog. I'm not really a bar dog, but I thought I should get out and meet other dogs. And since I broke up with my last boyfriend, Suddenly the terrier gets up to leave. And you don't seem that interested. I'm leaving. The black and white dog jumps up and points at his short tail. He explains to the other dog, while pointing to his very short tail, Hey, I was wiggling my stump like crazy. Blondie. Dagwood is walking Daisy, the family dog, in the park. He comes across an older woman pushing a stroller that has a dog inside of it. The fabric lid of the baby stroller has been rolled up so the dog has an unobstructed view. Dagwood says to the woman, She sure looks like she's enjoying her tour of the park. The woman looks down at her dog. Oh, yes, she loves her stroller. Dagwood, does she ever try to jump out? The woman smiles as she replies, oh, why would she want to do a thing like that? Daisy jumps up on the edge of the stroller to get a closer look at the woman's dog. In the final frame, Dagwood walks on with Daisy as he tells Daisy, forget it, it's never going to happen. Daisy gives a disapproving bark. Ruff. Dilbert. The pointy-haired boss is sitting at the conference table with an African-American dude on one side of him and Dilbert on the other. I don't recognize the man nor recall his name. The man says to the boss, I can't get enough of your stories, especially the ones I've already heard. He continues, your terrific stories need to be repeated so their wisdom sinks in. He adds, if you think about it, that's no different than how we learn anything else. I love the fact that all of your stories have the same point. You're awesome, and that's a lesson that has helped me grow as a person and as a professional. The man continues, I don't know how I can ever repay you for that gift. The boss looks at Dilbert and asks, is he serious? I can't tell. Dilbert, no one knows. Zits. Connie, Jeremy's mother, is tending to the laundry, which is just finished in a front-loading washing machine. She pulls out a hockey stick wrapped in clothes, as well as a tennis racket, a half-eaten taco, a soggy hamburger, and then a toaster. She places her hands over her eyes with mystification at the toaster. In the final frame, she tells Jeremy, you need to empty your pockets before putting clothes in the laundry. Jeremy, ooh, I wanted to finish that taco. Baby Blues. The first frame is a close-up of Wanda and Daryl. He's wearing a baseball cap. She is wearing a white tennis visor. They're half asleep. Suddenly in the second frame is a crack, and it wakes them up, where they've been seated in the bleachers at a grade school baseball game. In the third frame, Daryl is screaming, attaboy, Hammy, nice one! Half asleep, Wanda shouts, woo! In the final frame, Daryl yawns as he points out, gosh, these 8 a.m. games are brutal. Wanda lays her head in Daryl's lap and remarks, just let me sleep one more inning. I remember those. Non sequitur by Mr. Wiley. There are two people, a man and a woman, each at lecterns that are next to each other. The text box reads, The Great Modern Debate. The woman points at the man and announces, it's as simple as this. If you don't want one, don't get one. The man looks at her with a question mark in his thought bubble. From the audience, a few people shout, yay! Another few shout, that's right! And a third group articulates, bingo! The man looks at the woman and points out, that's exactly what I was going to say. The crowd starts in again. Boo! Traitor! The man continues, furthermore, we need to get government out of our private lives. The woman displays an exclamation point in her thought bubble. The audience chimes in, yay, right on. Then the woman points out, it seems we're in complete agreement. The man seems befuddled as he replies, oh. The audience starts up again, boo, blankety blank, no. The man and the woman look at each other with confusion. In the final frame, the woman announces, we are not talking about the same thing, are we? And the man replies, apparently it doesn't matter. Mutts. We're on the beach with Krabby, the world's crabbiest crustacean. Earl, the dog, and Mooch, the cat, run up to him. Krabby is chanting a mantra. Om. Mooch asks, what are you doing, Krabby? Krabby replies, I'm meditating to tear down my defensive walls, relax, and learn to be kind with my true self. Mooch, yes, you need to crack open that shell, let off some steam, and butter up your sweet inner goodness. Earl kind of jumps when he hears the sentimental claptrap Mooch is imparting to Krabby. Meanwhile, Krabby has a strange look on his face, and then Mooch continues, I know you can do it, Krabby. I can almost taste it. In the final frame, Krabby curses, blankety blank blank. Mooch replies, all this pep talk is making me hungry. Blondie. Dagwood is on the sofa doing what he does best. He hears the front door slam, and in walks Elmo, the neighbor kid, who enters holding a cell phone. Elmo,
yo, Mr. B, you want to check out my new phone?
Dagwood, sure, Elmo, but I'm trying to catch a little nap now. Elmo, gotcha, Mr. B, maybe later. Dagwood, perfect. Elmo, that's a plan, Mr. B, enjoy your nap. As he's leaving the house, Elmo pauses on the front porch and then turns around and heads back inside. Elmo has returned to the living room as he tells Dagwood, don't bother waking all the way up, Mr. B. Just send me a text when you get tired of your nap. Pickles. Earl is driving his car in town. It's a classic Studebaker. I love them. I used to ride one of those with my uncle. Anyway, Earl is thinking, you know, there are things in the past I wish I could go back and change, but you know, I look at it this way. The reason rearview mirrors on cars are so small and the windshield is so big, it's because where you're headed is more important than where you've been. Suddenly, Earl shouts, Opal! Oh, shoot, I left her back at the store. Oh, gosh. Foxtrot. Jason, the youngest brother in the Fox family, is walking against what appears to be a great wind that blows him backward. He is trying to move forward against the great wind, but the wind continues to fight Jason, and Jason continues to be buffeted off his feet. In the next frame, he's bending forward and finally reaches his clothes dresser in his room that we discover has an oscillating fan on top. As he holds onto the edge of the dresser, his feet have flown out from under him, and he's flying so much with his feet straight out. He's perpendicular to the floor. Peter, his oldest brother, is observing this, and he remarks, huh, I thought I needed to gain weight. Jason, stop yapping and help me turn the fan off. Sally Forth. It's nighttime. The moon is out. The stars are twinkling above Ted's childhood home. Ted is sitting up in bed in the darkened bedroom. He and Sally have been visiting, and he's been fretting over the fact that his mother wants to sell the house now that her husband has died, and she wants to downsize. Ted, I can't believe my mom is going to sell this house. Sally is lying on her back with her arms folded. It's the only house I grew up in. It's my childhood home. This was my bedroom. That's my old REM poster. He continues, and to think that one day it won't be our home. It will be someone else's. I won't be visiting here anymore. It's all a little hard. Sally tries to be supportive as she points out, you left here to start your life, and now your mom is leaving so she can start her new life. It's what happens. It's how we all move forward. You might recall his mother, Jeannie, has a new boyfriend who's aging, but a very fit, handsome Irishman with a white beard. In the next frame, Ted remarks, I know, I know. In the final frame, Ted continues, well, when we return to our house, I better start cleaning the garage for everything I'll be bringing back from here. Sally, yeah, you and I need to have a very brief and to-the-point conversation about that. Hi, and Lois. The twins, Dot and Ditto, are in the kitchen talking to Lois, their mother. Let's go, everyone outside. In the next frame, the entire family is sitting around the picnic table in the backyard, including Trixie, the baby, in her high chair. Dot, I thought we were going on a picnic. Lois, what's the difference? We're eating outside. The food is in a basket. There's fried chicken, corn on the cob, and strawberry shortcake. Trixie is thinking, looking down at the ground, where are the ants? Family Circus. Billy walks out the back door of his home. He seems relatively clean. In the next frame, he takes the back tire off his bike, leaving his hands and feet a bit dirty. He then enjoys a messy chocolate ice cream cone, after which he climbs a tree. Then he's playing baseball and sliding into third base. He later enjoys a romp in a storm sewer pipe. He then walks by his sister, Dolly, who's digging a hole in the backyard, flipping dirt in his direction. Finally, he comes in the back door and greets Mommy, who observes, Billy, how did you get so filthy? Billy, Dolly threw dirt on me. Beetle Bailey. The men are hiking in the woods with Sarge. Beetle, can't we stop, Sarge? We're all tired and hungry. It's hard just thinking. Sarge, now that you mention food. Okay, we'll set up camp here. Beetle, aw, come on, Sarge. This place is all covered with rocks and debris. Sarge, would you expect to find cushy accommodations on a battlefield? Make the best of it, soldier. In the next frame, Killer and Plato are putting up their pup tents. Sarge asks, where's Beetle's tent? They all three look around and find Beetle has used his tent to suspend from a tree as a giant hammock. He is already asleep in that hammock. Killer, he made a nest out of it. Sarge, bird brain. Rhymes with orange. We're in medieval times, and a dragon is inside a cave, but his head is sticking out. He has just directed a flame at a knight who's in his armor. The knight is holding his sword that has three marshmallows skewed on it. They have been cooked by the dragon's fiery breath. The knight remarks, this stays between us. Mother Goose and Grimm. Grimm and Attila the cat are playing with drones in front of Mother Goose, who is sitting on the sofa with her girlfriend, both sipping coffee. Grimm and Attila each have a control box for the drones, which are circling around the living room. Mother Goose, I miss the days when they used to just chase each other around like dogs and cats. Garfield. John comes to the table with a bowl of salad and a fork, which he puts in front of Garfield. John, what's the matter? Garfield, it needs something. In the next frame, Garfield remarks, I know. Then Garfield smiles and dumps the salad on John's head. Dustin. Ed, Dustin's father, is running some errands. In the first frame, he's picking up his dry cleaning and overhears two women behind him in line. The first woman says, what? You're cheating on John? The other woman smiles and waves her question away as she points out, what he doesn't know won't hurt him. Ed continues in the next frame doing some grocery shopping. He sees a man pick up a can of soup. The man's wife, who is pushing the cart, turns to the man and demands sharply, not that one. Do I have to tell you everything? Get the fat free. In the final frame, Ed comes into the kitchen where his wife Helen is stirring something on the stove. Ed grabs her and gives her a big hug. That's so cute. Sally Forth. Hillary, still on an adventure in the woods behind her grandmother's home, is standing at the edge of the woods holding a Polaroid camera. Hillary returns to the woods the next day. She holds up the camera and waves her hand and announces, hey, everyone, I got a camera. Now we can document Steve and everything. Steve is the green earth giant she and some friends met in the magical and mysterious woods. Sally, smile. The group of children pose for the camera in front of a couple of trees. Behind them, the enormous green giant is crouching down while doing his best to smile. Hillary looks up at the giant and remarks, maybe we can start with a group picture by your feet instead, Steve. Steve shouts, I can also do a thoughtful expression, or serious, I have range. You're listening to The Funny Pages. My name's Greg Conroy. This is brought to you by the good folks at Mind's Eye Organization. Pearls Before Swine. Rat is climbing an incline to meet with the donkey guru who sits on top of a tall hill. Rat finds the white-bearded donkey. Oh, great wise ass, I am always unhappy and angry and need to know if my future holds anything better. Sitting in the lotus position, the donkey replies, yes, you will achieve every goal you set, but you will be just as unhappy because you still won't understand that happiness comes from the inside. In the final frame, Rat is at the bottom of the hill talking to Pig. He tells Pig, I pushed him off the mountain. Mother Goose and Grimm. Mother Goose is sitting in her easy chair with her cat, Attila, curled up asleep in her lap. Mother Goose, looking back on it all, I could have done so much more in my life, but I didn't want to wake Kitty. Attila smiles. Deflocked. Mammoth, the sheep, is sitting in Dr. Webb's psychiatry office. Dr. Webb, a rooster, is sitting in his chair holding a clipboard. He wears glasses. Mammon holds up his left hand as he announces, my girlfriend wants me to get therapy for all my issues with my mom.
Mammoth then gestures with his right hand and adds, "And my mom wants me to get therapy for all my issues with women." Dr. Webb, "So, you'd like me to create a comprehensive patient plan for our work?" Mammoth, "No, I was just hoping for a 2-for-1 discount." Pickles. Opal is in the kitchen wearing an apron. Roscoe, the dog, approaches his empty food dish and sniffs. Sniff, sniff. Opal, "Roscoe is so funny. He keeps going back to his food bowl to see if something new to eat has materialized since he looked 5 minutes ago. Silly old dog." Roscoe has come back to the bowl and again, sniff, sniff. Opal shouts to her husband, Earl, who is standing in front of the open door of the refrigerator, gazing at the food on the shelves. Opal, "Isn't that right, Earl?" Earl is preoccupied as he replies, "Huh?" Rhymes with orange. The text box reads, "Bedtime." A mother wolf is sitting on a chair by her daughter's bed, reading her a bedtime story. The book she's holding is titled Little Red Riding Hood. The daughter wolf is sound asleep under her pink blanket. The father wolf is standing at the door. The mother turns to her husband and announces she's asleep, but now she's dead set on having a grandmother for breakfast. The husband replies, "I think we still have one in the closet." Oh, that's grim. Gilbert. Our favorite engineer is sitting at a conference table eating a banana. He's on a Zoom call using his computer tablet. Catbert, the HR expert, is sitting next to him having a cup of coffee. A voice from the computer announces, "Albanian strongman Vlad the Impaler has invaded Ukrainium, a nation that only exists in the metaverse." The voice continues, "Ukrainium has asked programmers to help them create virtual weapons to repel the attack." Dilbert turns to Catbert and asks, "Wait, how does that make sense?" Catbert, "Fog of war?" Baby Blues. Wanda is talking with her son, Hammy. "Kindness is a choice you make every day. Do you understand?" At this moment, Zoe, her daughter, is walking by reading a book. Hammy innocently sticks out his foot, causing his sister to trip. She falls face first onto the floor, making a loud noise. "Ah!" Hammy looks up innocently at his mother and smiles as he remarks, "But on a person-by-person basis." Garfield. John is standing by the kitchen table, minding his own business. Suddenly, he gives a loud yell. "Ah!" His hair stands on end, and his eyes bulge out. In the final frame, he glares at Garfield, who appears at his side. "John, you bit me." Garfield gives John an evil smile while thinking, "There was jelly on your ankle." Mutts. Mooch the cat and Earl the dog are at the beach. They run down to the water's edge when they see a bottle with a cork in the top wash ashore. Earl, "A message in a bottle." Mooch opens the bottle and takes out a piece of paper. Earl stands over his shoulder and asks, "What's it say, Mooch?" Mooch squints one eye as he reads the note. He turns to Earl and replies, "Feed the kitty." Hi, and Lois. Mom and Dad and all the kids are sitting at a picnic table in the backyard having a barbecue. Trixie is in her high chair. Everyone has an ear of corn on their plate. Mom lectures her children, "We need to teach you kids some table manners." Ditto asks, "Kitchen?" Dot asks, "Dining?" Chip asks, "Our picnic?" Beetle Bailey. Beetle and Killer are each holding a rake as they approach Sarge in the barracks yard. It is a scorching sunny day, and there are beads of sweat pouring down each of their faces. Beetle pleads with Sarge, "Come on, Sarge, let's go inside. It's blazing hot out here." Sarge, unmoved, replies, "Are you afraid to sweat a little?" In the final frame, Beetle and Killer both shown standing in a large puddle of liquid on the ground. Beetle raises his rake in the air as more sweat falls off of him. Beetle, "A little." The Family Circus. The text box reads, "Here we go again." The Family Circus is flying off on this memorable vacation to the Big Apple. Mommy and Daddy, as well as all the kids, are in the hallway at the airport walking toward their gate. They all have nice clothes on and are carrying hand luggage. Billy, holding his skateboard, and his sister Dolly are walking close to their parents. Their little brother, Jeffy, is running ahead. Dolly turns to her mother. Tell Jeffy not to run ahead. He just wants to be the first one to see New York City. Zits. Jeremy approaches his father, who's sitting on the couch doing a crossword puzzle. Jeremy, a bunch of us are going to the fair. I'll be back late. Dad perks up and replies, hey, bring me back a corn dog and a deep-fried Oreo. Then he realizes he's sitting next to his wife, and he says, oh, or maybe just a fried salad. Mom glares at him. Jeremy walks on saying, I'll look. Speed bump. The text box reads, existentialist dogs. Two beatnik bulldogs are sitting at a cafe table outside on the sidewalk. They are both dressed in black. One wears sunglasses and a beret. The other is smoking a cigarette in a cigarette holder. The first dog takes a sip of his coffee as he points out, the question is, where does want to go for a walk end and need to go for a walk begin? Bizarro. In a high school advisor office, there's a horse seated behind a desk. He has a long mane and is wearing a suit and eyeglasses. He's looking at a student's file. Seated in front of the advisor is a child's hobby horse, just a stick with the toy head of a horse. The head of the hobby horse is yellow with bright green polka dots. He has a goofy smile and wears a kerchief around his neck. The advisor remarks, some of us are hobby horses and some of us are career horses. Cornered. A woman journalist is standing outside the back entrance of a factory. Her cameraman is standing a few feet in front of her. She is doing a live news report. Behind her is an orange and white truck with what appears to be an emergency response team near it. In front of the truck, two men are carrying a long pole that is holding an enormous roll of paper towels. They are both dressed in white hazmat suits. The reporter faces the camera and announces, no word from the company yet, but based on that roll of paper towels, I'd say it's a pretty major spill. Non sequitur. A group of executives are sitting around a conference table. In the center of the table is a roulette wheel. Instead of numbers on the wheel, there are words that the ball could land on, including buy, dump, or sell. A croupier with a visor is standing beside the table running the game. The executives are all reviewing their notes and watching the wheel. The CEO announces to the group, so, I got to wondering how we can remove the guesswork and speed up the decision-making process. Marmaduke. The big dog approaches the counter at Cave's Meat Market. Marmaduke lays a large bone on the counter. He puts his paws on the edge of the counter and looks at the butcher expectantly. The butcher looks at the dog and replies, no returns, no upgrades, no gift exchanges, no finder's fees, and no fencing hot merchandise. Sorry, Marmaduke. Duplex. Ino Camino and Fang, the yellow dog, are both stargazing again on their roof. Fang, with his paws behind his head, remarks, did you know the human brain contains the same number of neurons as there are stars in the Milky Way? It makes you think, doesn't it? Ino replies, yep. Fang pauses. You're thinking about candy bars, aren't you? Ino puts his hands behind his head and quips, yep. One-track mind. Travel. Ralph and Honeybunch are on a cruise ship. Honeybunch, I can't believe we're on a cruise to Alaska. Ralph, me neither, Honeybunch. On the deck, the two of them walk past an ice cream counter. The girl working behind the counter waves and smiles as she shouts, hi, Ralph. They continue on the deck, and the man behind the pizza counter waves and shouts, hello, Ralph. Ralph waves back. Honeybunch turns to her husband and remarks, I also can't believe we've only been on this ship for 20 minutes. Ralph looks at his wife as he asks, that long? I'm due for another cone. Lola. Amy, Lola's daughter-in-law, and Lola herself, who is wearing a Stetson hat and drinking a cup of coffee, are sitting at the kitchen table. Amy is working on her laptop. Amy, what's with the hat, Lola? Lola replies, I want to be a cowgirl. Amy corrects Lola, cow person. Lola sits at the table and sighs as she points out, even delusions have to be politically correct. Amy smiles. Ziggy. My favorite little guy is pushing a grocery cart at the store. He walks by a display. The sign on the door reads, "One egg per customer." Another sign reads, "No beef." Ziggy turns to us and remarks, "It seems like the only thing there's no shortage of these days is shortages themselves." Amen. The Argyle Sweater. A handyman is standing in a woman's apartment trying to fix door hinges that are making noise. He's wearing blue overalls and a ball cap. The handyman looks back at the hinges after having worked on them for a while and wonders, "That's just great. $7 later, and not only do these hinges still squeak, but now this place stinks." He puts his hand up and holds his nose. A woman takes the can of lubricant. She says, "Let me see that." "Well, no wonder, Stan. The label on the can reads WD-Farty. F-A-R-T-Y. Other coast. The text box reads, "At the Mixed Breed Duck Show." A woman in a green blouse and a black skirt is walking a dog around the ring at a dog show. The dog is brown with black spots. The announcer tells the audience, "This is Max, best in the shepherd, lab, poodle, collie, and Dalmatian breeds." I didn't know they judged mutts. Blondie. Dagwood walks past his boss's office. Mr. Dithers stops him and announces, "Bumstead, I'd like to have a word with you." The boss looks down at a piece of paper and asks Dagwood, "What are all these doodles in the margin of your report? They're very distracting." Dagwood shrugs his shoulders as he replies, "Sorry, boss." Mr. Dithers returns to his office and continues looking over Dagwood's report. Dagwood smiles as he walks back to his office as he murmurs, "Mission accomplished." Oh, Dagwood, you're always thinking. Dustin. Hayden, the young kid who is next-door neighbor to Dustin, and Dustin himself, are sitting on the floor in front of the couch playing video games on TV. Ed, Dustin's father, enters the room and asks, "Hayden, didn't you say you have a big test to study for tomorrow?" Hayden continues staring at the TV as he replies, "Yes." Ed, "So what's your plan?" Hayden looks up and replies, "Remember when you told me people learn more from their mistakes than their successes?" Ed, "Yes." Hayden continues to play the video game as he replies, "That's my plan." Sally Forth. Hillary is in the enchanted woods behind her grandmother's house. She is taking a Polaroid photo of a group of children standing in front of the foot of an enormous green giant who calls himself an earth giant. Hillary, "Okay, say cheese." All the children and the giant reply, "Cheese." Hillary watches the Polaroid photo slowly develop. Hillary, "Okay, just wait a few seconds for the photo to appear and..." She looks down at the photo to find it's a photo of her father standing in front of his mother's house. She's surprised and asks, "Dad?" Pearls Before Swine. Rat is enjoying his morning coffee at the diner counter. Goat walks in with a man dressed in a suit. Goat, "Hey, Rat, this is my friend Robert. He's a professional film critic." Rat says to the man, "What's it feel like to have all 7 billion people with phones now doing the exact same thing as you?" The man looks at Rat and replies, "That hurts." Rat, "Now you're just a squirt gun in the sea." Mother Goose and Grimm. Grimm is in the park, standing next to a tree. A woman is walking a group of 4 dogs, all on leashes. She is a professional dog walker. Grimm gets a relieved look on his face as he remarks, "There but for the grace of dog go I." Grace of dog. Deflocked. Mammoth the sheep is on a date at a fancy restaurant. He's sitting in a booth wearing a bow tie. His date is a beautiful blonde sheep in a tight green dress. They're both enjoying a cocktail. The woman asks, "Mammoth, do you ever see yourself raising a family one day?" Mammoth replies, "Absolutely. I think about it all the time." The woman clasps her hands together. "You do?" Mammoth, "Yeah. Wives, 3 kids." "Then everyone turns into robots. I shoot my way out of the detention center, and then I have to help Matt Damon restore his memory." The woman is confused when she says, "I don't think we're on the same page." Mammoth, "You're probably a robot." Pickles. Roscoe, the family dog, is standing beside his empty dog dish, sniffing it. Sniff, sniff. Opal bends down to the dog and says, "Roscoe, no matter how many times you check your bowl, there won't be anything in it until supper time." Roscoe looks up at Opal with big, pleading eyes. "Opal, don't look at me that way." Earl is sitting at the kitchen table, observing this conversation. Opal picks up the dog food dish and walks toward the counter. Roscoe follows attentively. Opal, "Okay, okay." In the final frame, Roscoe is enjoying a mid-afternoon treat. His tail is wagging happily. Earl looks down at Roscoe and remarks, "You got to teach me how to look at her that way." Rhymes with orange. The text box reads, "The ashram." A yogi is sitting cross-legged on a yoga mat in a single cell inside an ashram. In case you don't know, an ashram is a monastery. His bed is to one side, with a simple desk and chair on the other side. He is wearing blue-striped pajamas. Another yogi stands at the archway into his room. He is confused about the man in the room. The yogi on the floor points out, "It's too early for an out-of-body. I'm still working on an out-of-pajamas." Macanudo. Henrietta, the little girl who frequents this strip, is wearing bright red pajamas and is crawling into bed while holding a book. Her black cat, Fellini, curls up at the foot of the bed. Henrietta. "Every reader brings something to a book, so I think nobody reads the same one. There are as many David Copperfields as people who read David Copperfield." Fellini. "People do like magic." Dilbert. Our favorite engineer is wearing a hoodie and walking on a trail in a park. He's watching a video on his phone. We hear a voice from the video. "A war is raging in the metaverse as Vlad the Impaler tries to conquer Ukrainium, claiming it was always part of Elbonia." The announcer continues, "The plucky defenders declared they are now a subscription site and raised a defensive paywall." "Well, Vlad the Impaler vowed to return with a credit card and, God forbid, a promo code." Baby Blues. Zoe is sitting on the couch holding the remote while she watches television with her brother Hammy, who is sitting beside her. Suddenly, Hammy gets the hiccups. Hick. He bounces lightly on the couch. He continues, "Hick, hick, hick," each time bouncing from one side of the couch to the other. Zoe reaches out her hand with her thumb and forefinger almost touching. She threatens her brother, "One more of those and you'll meet the pinch of death." Hammy shudders and backs away from his sister. Hammy, "It's not on purpose." Garfield. John is enjoying a cup of coffee at the breakfast table while Garfield is standing beside him. John smiles as he announces, "Nothing bad has happened today." John stops smiling. Garfield is distracted and looks away from John. John, "I probably shouldn't have said that." Garfield points, "Here comes the locusts." Mutts. Mooch the cat and Earl the dog are on a beach. They are standing on the shore at the edge of the water. Next to them is a clam. They see the crustacean. Earl, "It's a clam." Mooch, "Yesh." Mooch continues as he addresses the clam. "I've always wanted to know, what makes you so happy?" As in happiness, a clam. High and Lois. High is at work talking to Mr. Fufram, who is president of the company. High, "Lois has a meeting tonight." Mr. Fufram replies, "I'm sorry, I need you to work late." In the final frame, Lois and the kids have all shown up in the hall outside High's front door. Lois, "I'm dropping the kids off, Mr. Fufram. You don't mind, do you?" Beetle Bailey. Sarge is in his white t-shirt and khaki pants as he whacks a baseball during his at-bat at the regiment game. The ball makes it to the infield where Beetle snags it. The cover has come off the baseball. Sarge knocked the stuffing out of it. Beetle, "I think he'd get more home runs if he didn't hit it so hard every time." Could be. The Family Circus. You recall the family is taking a New York City vacation. They're in the lobby of the hotel while Daddy is at the reservation counter talking to the clerk. The kids are gathered around Mommy when Dolly asks, "Do we have to write our names or will Daddy sign for all of us?" So cute. Zits. Hector, Jeremy, and Sarah, the little Mexican boy who Jeremy is teaching to play guitar,
as well as Pierce and his African-American girlfriend, are all spending the day at the county fair. Hector, where to first? The rides? The food alley? Pierce blurts out, the livestock barns. Jeremy asks, really? Serious? Meanwhile, Sarah is holding her nose because the livestock barns are nearby. Pierce's girlfriend reacts to Pierce's wanting to visit the livestock. It's a fashion thing. Pierce is looking at a turkey in a cage. Pierce, you're rocking that neck flappy thing, dude. Neck flappy thing. Speed bump. A flying saucer is sailing through space. In the distance is the big blue marble of Earth. Two aliens in the saucer are flying in the opposite direction of Earth. The little green men have oval-shaped heads and oval eyes looking out of the glass dome of the flying saucer. One alien remarks to the other, yeah, I can hold it until we find a cleaner place to stop. In other words, he needs a bathroom and Earth isn't clean enough to go to the bathroom. Oh, come on. Bizarro. A king holding a scepter and wearing a bejeweled crown is having his official portrait done by the court artist. The king is not what you'd refer to as handsome, with his bulbous nose and thick eyeglasses. The king is dressed in a red velvet coat with white ermine trim. The artist is sporting a goatee and a thin pencil mustache. The artist is also wearing a beret. By the way, they are standing in a stone castle, so this is during medieval times. The king reminds the artist, this is for my royal dating profile, so it had better be handsome and recognizable. The text box reads, Sketch 22. I guess I should explain. It's a reference to the novel Catch 22 by Joseph Heller. And a Catch 22 has come to be known as a paradoxical situation from which an individual cannot escape because of contradictory rules or limitations. Okay, school's out. Non sequitur. We're in a city. There are blocks of granite, which are actually steps to the front door of a building that's up very high. We cannot see it. And in one of the steps, there's a canopy that reads Congress. It's a separate entrance to this building, easily accessible. There's a sign on the sidewalk that says corporate entrance only. The text box reads government theory versus reality. And there are people climbing up the steps who are dressed in regular clothes, but people in suits are walking through the canopied entrance, so it's easier for them. You've been listening to The Funny Pages. My name's Greg Conroy, and this has been brought to you by the folks at Mind's Eye Organization, helping the low vision and blind communities in the St. Louis region since 1973. Have a great week. Take care.
You are listening to Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
There are more than 1 million English words. Next up, word nerd Steph Donoff with some of them worth talking about.
There is an itty-bitty, teeny-weeny fraction of English words that are taboo in polite society, especially on radio. And we are going to talk about them without saying any of them. You see, taboo words have medicinal value. A study at Oxford University showed that saying those taboo words increases your tolerance for pain. And you know the words I'm talking about. Scientists had people put their hands in ice water and asked them how much it hurt and saw how long they could keep their hands in it, saying, even shouting, imitation swear words like darn, shucks, heck, even fudge did not help as much as the taboo words. There's a certain emotional release and strength in saying taboo words when you are hurting. This does not mean you can swear the next time you stub your toe. Now you have a good excuse for when you do.
That's enough talk about words. Let's go back to listening to them.
Are you having difficulty with your eyesight? Are you losing your vision? Are you afraid of what comes next? If you're blind or visually impaired, contact Mass Commission for the Blind to find out if you're eligible to register for services. Learn new skills to reclaim your independence. Call 1-800-392-6450 or visit mass.gov/MCB. That's 1-800-392-6450.
And now, medical myths and facts with Dr. Richard Curtis.
Let me start with a simple story. A young woman begins taking birth control pills for the first time. Before starting, she reads the information sheet inside the package. It lists possible side effects: headaches, nausea, mood changes, breast tenderness, and weight gain. Within a few weeks, she begins noticing headaches. She feels slightly nauseated in the morning. She wonders if the pill is affecting her mood. So guess what? She stops taking the medication. Now here's the interesting part. In clinical trials where some women receive real birth control pills and others receive placebo pills, many women in the placebo group report the exact same symptoms: headaches, nausea, mood changes, even though they received no hormones at all. What's happening here is something called the nocebo effect. Now, most of you are familiar with the placebo effect, when someone feels better because they believe a treatment might have helped them. The nocebo effect is the opposite. It occurs when negative expectations lead to real symptoms or make symptoms worse. If we expect a medication to cause problems, our brain can actually help create those problems. And these symptoms are not imaginary. Brain imaging studies show that expectations can activate real biologic pathways involving pain signaling, stress hormones, and anxiety circuits. In effect, the brain amplifies normal sensations and turns them into noticeable symptoms. This phenomenon shows up in many areas of medicine. For example, when patients read long lists of potential drug side effects, they are more likely to report those symptoms, even if they are taking a placebo. Studies of medications like cholesterol drugs and antidepressants suggest that a large portion of reported side effects may be influenced by the nocebo effect. Birth control pills provide a particularly clear illustration. Many women worry about side effects before they even start taking them. But when researchers carefully compare women taking hormones with those taking placebo pills, the difference in some reported symptoms is surprisingly small. Expectation plays a powerful role. Now, this doesn't mean medications never cause side effects. They certainly can. But it reminds us that our brains play an active role in how we experience our bodies. For physicians, this creates an important challenge. Doctors have a responsibility to explain risks honestly, but the way information is presented matters. If we emphasize that most people tolerate medications well while still discussing potential problems, we can help patients stay informed without unintentionally creating symptoms through expectation alone. So the nocebo effect teaches us something fascinating. Belief and expectation are not just psychological. They are biological forces. The brain is not simply observing the body. In many ways, it has helped shaping what the body feels.
Heard about the audio journal show, Young at Heart? It's okay to be young at heart. The show is about listening to simple stories about simple and happy tales of life. By listening to Young at Heart, you will experience the delight and wonder of being, well, young at heart. And since laughter is the best medicine, many of the stories will also make you smile, chuckle, or even laugh out loud. So pull up a comfy chair, take off your shoes, and bend your ears to the Audio Journal Show, Young at Heart, every Saturday and Sunday at 2 o'clock p.m.